Good to be back here in this pulpit. You notice that they waited till I came before they changed everything. If it worked for 25 years, I don't know why we need to. But, thank you, Steve. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 11. There's a misprint in the bulletin. Psalm 11 we want to look at to start with today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, it is good to be here with your people. As always, on the first day of the week, we gather and we remember that it is the day of our Lord's resurrection. And we gather as your people, as a church, as an assembly, and we understand as well that we depend on him to do his work in building his church. And we pray that that would happen today, that we'd be strengthened and encouraged as we look at a couple of passages out of your word, that we might learn more of what it is to say that every knee will bow, every tongue will proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and what that might mean today in our lives. So just bless us as we look at these portions, strengthen and encourage us, and cause us to rejoice in what we have as Christians. We'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. Most of you know that next week is Easter. And it's Easter is a day that, if you've been here a long time with me, you know that I consider Easter to be the day of all days. It's the most important day in the whole year. It is uniquely our holiday. Easter bunny and Easter eggs, notwithstanding. Easter is our day because it's the day of resurrection. And the resurrection, and we'll hear more about this, I'm sure, from Pastor Brad next week. But the resurrection is the thing that validates everything we believe. And you can find that, obviously, in 1 Corinthians 15 and so on. But it's extremely important that we celebrate Easter. And we will next week, the day of all days. But today's Palm Sunday, and sometimes I think we spend a lot of time thinking about Good Friday and Easter and just kind of gloss over Palm Sunday because we want to get to this most important day. And Palm Sunday, I'm beginning to come to the understanding, I think, a little bit more than I've had, that Palm Sunday is an exceedingly important day. It's not just a day that we think about waving palm branches or something like that. But we need to understand Palm Sunday because, by the way, Easter validates Palm Sunday, among other things. But you know the event. The event is the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem a week before he was crucified, or a week before he rose. And the crowds were, as they heard him, that he was coming, they're forming perhaps at the gate or in the road that he was coming on. And Matthew tells us that it was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, your king comes, endowed with justice and salvation, humble, riding upon a donkey, a colt, a foal of the donkey. And the crowd recognized this, however they had their knowledge and whatever they were thinking of, because they were crying out, Hosanna, save us, if you will, please. Blessed is the Son of David, reference to his kingship. The long-awaited, by the way, Son of David. They had been waiting for him to come and sit on the throne, a mighty king. And blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. He represents all that God is. He really is all that God is. And they recognized him as coming and who he was. the son of David in terms of kingship, the coming in the name of the Lord. He's God coming. And in the account of this in John chapter 12, the message from John, or the message that John gives us, is, fear not, because your king comes. See? And it's a great day because of these praises and confessions and cries as to at least what they said they believed about Jesus Christ. And I suspect that if most of us thought about it at all, we'd like to think that if we were back there, we'd say the same thing. We would join in praising who he was, praising his coming, praising the thoughts of what he might do when he got into Jerusalem. But I'm concerned that sometimes these praises that we think we would give, or that we give, you know, say on Palm Sunday, sometimes they're just echoing the words we read in Scripture, and they're hollow. That we don't really understand what we're saying when we say these words. And the practical application of Palm Sunday is lacking in a lot of our lives, even in some of the lives here, I know. I've had conversations with some of you. See, we don't live back in 30 AD. We live in 2013, and so we look at the events of 2013, even on Palm Sunday, and it's the events of 2013 that are forming our lives, see. And we live on the basis of what's happening now, not on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. So what I want to do today, and hopefully we can tie some of this stuff together, is to give you something maybe you hadn't really thought about. Or if you have, then it'll just be hopefully a good review. But something to think about in Palm Sunday that will give you a firm foundation for living today in 2013. That some of you, at least, I don't think have. And to do this, I want to use a couple of psalms and a couple of stories. If you read the title, you're wondering what we're going to do with the story of Chicken Little, and some of you say, who's Hugh Latimer, and couple of instances from history. But to give us a foundation for our life, how do you respond to what's happening today based on Palm Sunday? And hopefully we can, at least we'll try to tie this all together. Psalm 11. Is a cry or a statement, you will, maybe a confession of faith by the psalmist. Perhaps it was David who wrote it. And it's apparently he's in some sort of a dangerous situation. And he has some friends or some advisors, some people that are coming to him with warnings. Everything is collapsing. Everyone's against you. They're coming to get you. Run for your life. See? And if you like to write in the margin, just write, this is the Chicken Little psalm, right? And you know the story of Chicken Little. It's really a good story for Christians, by the way. Chicken Little is walking along the road, and an acorn falls, hits her on the head. And she says, whoa, the sky is falling. And so she starts running for help. And she meets Henny Penny. I mean, this is, neat. And Henny Penny says, what are you doing? And she says, I'm running because the sky is falling. And she says, how do you know? Well, I saw with my eyes, exaggerating a little bit. Heard it with my ears, exaggerating a little bit. It hit me on the head. And Henny Penny says, whoa, that's terrible. We'd better run. So they run, and then they meet Ducky Wucky. And Ducky Wucky says, hey, we'd better run. And they meet Goosey Lucy. And Goosey says, I'd better run with you. And I like Turkey Lurkey, because he's the next. And Turkey Lurkey says, what are you doing? They say, we're running because the sky's falling. And he says, this is really neat. He says, I always suspected it would happen. And so this whole bunch of little, they're running down the road. The sky's falling, the sky's falling. And they meet Foxy Loxy. This is a neat story for your kids at night. And Foxy Loxy says, where are you going? They say, the sky's falling. We're running for help. He says, come with me. I'll help you. And he takes them into his den for shelter. Well, they're never heard of again, but see. And the moral is it can be hazardous to your health to run, to follow reports of sky is falling. See. But that's what David's friends saying in chapter of Psalm 11, see? Watch out. Everything's collapsing. Run for your life. They're coming to get you. The wicked, verse 2, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon a string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can anyone do? What can we do? See? If the things that hold everything together, that form a basis for your life, are pulled down, see, if the godly people are gone, if the law is invalidated, if the society is crumbling and breaking down, see, if the foundations of, that you're living on are destroyed, what can we do? And their advice is to run. Now, that's a good question, by the way, that you need to answer. If the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? See, good question, really bad theology. Because the answers to that are, what can we do? We can hide, we can worry, we can fear, we can revolt, we can defend, we can fight, we can change. See, all of the above, bad theology, because the answer is, at verse 4, and the psalmist answers, see, regardless of the perception that everything is falling, he says, look again, see what really is. The sky is falling, the foundations are crumbling. He says, look at the sky. Get a correct view of what's really going on. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And he says, look up, and what do you see? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. See? Untouched by all of this. The Lord's throne, the holy temple, separate, untouched by the world, see. And his throne is in his temple. And it's functioning as it ought to, see. And the psalmist says to these people that are saying, hey, everything's falling, run for your life. He says, look, see. Where he is and what he's doing, see. He's right where he should be, in his temple, on his throne. And the situations don't change him at all. Nothing is changed, see. There's no collapse at all. And you keep on reading and it says, he knows. His eyelids behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, see. He knows, and it goes on to say, he'll deal with people the way they ought to be dealt with. He'll take care of the righteous, he'll take care of the wicked, see. And no matter what, see, he says, he'll take care of you. That's what Psalm 11 concludes with. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. and the upright will behold his face. See? We are secure. We'll see his face. And so if we can contrast the two, is it don't learn from Chicken Little, learn from the psalmist in Psalm 11. See? The sky isn't falling. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his throne. And all is well. All is well. See? Same message in Psalm 46. Turn there if you would, please. Same song, second verse. What do I really believe is happening down here? What do I really believe about the year 2013, Washington County, or whichever county you happen to be from? Where is my safety? See? And it's not in anything here. See? It's not in the government. It's not in the military. It's not in people. It's not in your family. It's not in your money. It's not in your securities. It's in nothing. See? God is our refuge and strength. If somebody says run, say, I'm going to run. See, because that's what a refuge is. It's the place you run to. Not to Foxy Loxy's den. You run to God. God is my refuge. See. He's a very present help in trouble. And it's interesting Hebrew in there. He's a present help found exceedingly. That's what very means. Found exceedingly, see. And he's found exceedingly in trouble. When things get binding and when things tighten up, see. When we get into a hard place, that's the concept of trouble here. See? He is found exceedingly there. And this is our confession. This is what we live on. See, I believe this. I live like it. See? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. And someone said, but you don't know what's happening. And the psalmist says, well, even though what I consider is firm, even though what I've built my life on and I thought was firm, even though the mountains, see, the earth, should change. Even though the mountains and should slip into the sea, even though the waters roar and foam, the mountains quake in its swelling pride, even though all of the everything that is solid, see, starts shaking and sliding and moving, and there's nothing left that's solid because the sea is threatening me and the mountains are shaking and nothing's left. If the very foundation of order and stability, see, if everything I build on, see, is threatened with what I perceive as disaster because it just is shaking, see, I will not fear. And that little word at the end of verse 3 of Selah just says, hey, stop just for a moment and think about that. That's what Selah has the idea of. Stop and think about that. I'll not fear, though. Everything shakes. Everything seems to be falling. Everything seems to be failing. I'll not fear. See? Think about that. Just think about it for a little bit. See? I have a refuge in God. I'll not fear. Selah, think about that. then he goes on and says, if everything fades, everything shakes, everything is being destroyed, everything's falling into the ocean's flooding everything, and all is gone. And starting at verse 4, he says, hey, nothing's gone. Not for me. Not for you. I mean, what a beautiful picture. Though it's water, you know, talking about the mountain slipping into the sea and the waters foaming and roaring. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. I mean, just what a picture. The whole world's shaking and moving and everything's collapsing. And it's not moving. It's just there. See, it's just there. God's in the midst of her. She will not be moved. See? Nothing is collapsing. Nothing is shaking. Nothing's roaring. Nothing's threatening for us. God will help her when the morning's dawn. It's not that God's on my side. It's I have God. See? I am there with Him. See? He's there. It's not He's on my side. It's I'm with Him. See? And all He has to do, verse 6, is speak. He doesn't have to do anything. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. I mean, that's all. He just says, hey. Hey. See? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah, think about that. Just think about those words. God, in whom I live and move and have my being, Paul tells us in Romans. What a description of my life. In whom I live and move and have my being. See, I don't add him to my life. I don't invite him into my life. I don't let him rule my life. I live in him. And living in him, nothing moves. Nothing threatens. Nothing harms. Nothing changes. No fear, because he's our stronghold. Example from history is the life of a gentleman by the name of Hugh Latimer. For you church history buffs, Hugh Latimer was a Catholic priest back in the 1500s. And this was the time of, among other things, part of the Puritan and revival, if you will, or the change. And he converted to Protestantism. Became a believer and became a Protestant. And that was okay as long as Henry VIII and Edward VI were on the throne, because they were kind of, they were anti-Rome and they were also kind of leaning toward Protestantism. And so he did okay then. But then Mary got back on the throne and devout Catholic, really bad for Protestants. And ultimately, Hugh Latimer and his friends were burned at the stake for their faith. But at some point before that, perhaps when he feels this pressure, this danger threatening, and kind of maybe seeing if things go on the way they're going to go, then I'm going to die, he said something to the effect of, when sometimes I sit alone and have a settled assurance of the state of my soul, and know that God is my God, I can laugh at all trouble, and nothing can daunt me. I mean, he's on his way to be burned at the stake. If I know about my soul, and know that God is my God, see, nothing can daunt me. I mean, he knew that God was his refuge. God was his stronghold. God was his God. And he knew the time is coming, verse 10, when God's just going to speak, he's going to say, hey, world, stop. Just cease. And what that word cease means is just drop your hands, let them stay at your side, just stop. We might say, knock it off. Stop it. And when he says that, he says, stop and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Just think about that. See? Just think about what he's saying there. This is God. This is my God. See? Just think about that. And you know as well as I do that a lot of Christians are scared to death because of what's happening. We perceive the overthrow or the pulling down or the corruption or the destruction of everything that we hold dear, right? We really do, a lot of us. The mountains are shaking, the seas are roaring, the columns are being pulled down. Policies we see being enacted, laws being overturned, godliness in the public place is prohibited in terms of prayers and so on, society and culture degrading, the family is being attacked, see, all the foundations. And Christian leaders, by the way, radio and TV and magazines and internet and whatever else. Say, run, hide, fight. It's falling apart. We'd better do something for it, right? What are we going to do? We're scared to death because it is being destroyed. And you have to ask yourself the question, do I have enough ammunition? Is my magazine big enough? See? What are we going to do? And that's not the question. The question is, who do we know? See? What do we know? Not what we're going to do. What do we know? We know our God is on a throne in heaven. We know his eyes see what's going on down here and he'll deal with people, see. We know our God is our refuge. We know our God is our strength, our stronghold, see. We know we will not fear. We know with him there and who he is, all is well. All is well. Really. You got to believe that. So, how does that all apply to Palm Sunday, right? Today, take some time and remember. See, there was a man that really did come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the people really did cry out. The king is coming in the name of the Lord. Not this guy wants to be king. Not a wannabe king is coming. Or maybe a candidate for king is coming. The king is coming. See. And John says, fear not. Behold, your king comes. I mean, that's Palm Sunday, right? And all that God is came riding into Jerusalem that day to his people. Now, granted, you say, yeah, but he got crucified, Good Friday, Bad Friday, whatever, and so on, so on, so on. Hey, next week, what do we celebrate? Part of what Easter means is that everything that was said about him on Palm Sunday is true. He was raised from the dead. He's the king, see? Didn't make him the king. It's a validation of the fact that he really is king. All that he said he was, all that the people praised him for is true. Think back to that. Think back to what was said about him. Hey, by the way, if going back 2,000 years is a strain on your brain and thinking back 2,000 years, hey, think back half an hour, okay, 30 minutes. What were you singing today, this morning, here? Rejoice. I'm going to make Jesus king. Or did you sing, rejoice, the Lord is kingdom? See? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Did you sing that? See? It's kind of our variation in song of some of the things they were saying back in, as he's coming through the gate and they're waving the palm branches. But you just sang it 30 minutes ago. What did you mean when you were singing? And Steve read out of Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. I mean, what does that mean? See? Just a thoughtless echo that we make every Palm Sunday? Or is it something that we really, really, really believe? And when we sing, you know, rejoice, the Lord is King, maybe we need to say, Selah. Think about that. I'll hail the power of Jesus' name. Selah. Think about that. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our stronghold. Selah. Think about that. See? That's our confession on Palm Sunday. See? That's what Palm Sunday really is all about. And if we believe that, then we would have a reply to all this, to the world, to the leaders, to society, to everything that's threatening us or we perceive as a threat, you know, we say, hey, I have a king, and it's not you, right? Say that to our fearless leaders, right? You're not my king. I have a king. This is his world. This is his place, not yours. See? He rules. You don't. See? That's the way we would think today to all this. See? And we'd say, he's my refuge. You're not my security. See? All is well. All is well. Just think about your confession on Palm Sunday. The last word, Psalm 46. Selah, think about it. And that's what I think Palm Sunday is all about. So, we're going to close by singing hymn number 347, and Chris is going to lead us. But, hey, it's a confession. Don't sing it. You don't want to. You don't have to. But you're singing it to yourself. You're not singing it to the Lord. You're singing it to yourself. Be still, my soul. Leave to thy God. Leave to thy God to order and provide. Be still, my soul. The second verse, marvelous. The waves and winds still know his voice. I mean, back on the Sea of Galilee, he stilled the storm. They still know his voice. The mountains shake, the sea roars. They still know his voice who ruled them. Be still, my soul. When everything's done, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. So I want you to sing that to yourself, because that's to whom it's addressed. And I trust that these are your words on Palm Sunday, that we really do have a King and all is well.